Hello, fellow doers and changemakers. My name is Monica, and I'd like to warmly welcome you to ISCA's podcast. We have recorded the following interview in the Integration of Refugees Through Sport project, funded by European Commission's Erasmus Plus Sport program. The project aims to empower people working or volunteering in Integration of Refugees Through Sport roles by offering in-person and online opportunities to meet, learn, gain recognition for their initiatives, and connect with high-profile organizations. You can find much more information and resources on irts.isca.org, and we actually have quite a few online courses on this topic. They're obviously all free of charge. You can find them at learn.isca.org. Today's interview is actually part of an online learning course where we're sharing good examples and practices from various organizations and clubs. Today I'm hosting two inspiring female leaders, Khalida Popal, founder of Girl Power Organization, and Safa Ahmed Bilal, student and human rights activist, both coming from Denmark. I have to be honest, this was a truly felt and inspiring conversation, and I hope you will feel some of that too. Here we go. Khalida, I'd like to ask you to just briefly introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what is your story behind working with refugees and migrants. What's your background?
Thank you. My name is Khalida Popal. I am former captain of Afghanistan women's national team. I am also one of the founding member of first Afghanistan women's national team. Right now, I'm living as a refugee in Denmark, and I am founder and director for Girl Power Organization. As mentioned, I'm from Afghanistan, and from a war-torn country that is a male-dominated country where women and girls have been always victim of war. For me, football was a gateway from the challenges, the culture barriers, the challenges that women were facing, and me as a girl and as a woman were facing in that country. Football was a freedom, a way to test the freedom or feel the freedom for a few hours or moments. So I started playing football in Afghanistan, brought football into the culture of Afghanistan. With other teammates of mine to use this as a strong tool in our society, in our country, to stand for our right as a woman, but also for the right of other women in our country to stand as a strong voice, as a unit, and be the voice for our voiceless sisters around Afghanistan, that they were suffering and they were living under the regime of Taliban. So football was a way of activism, and that is how I become a natural activist without going to any schools or reading a lot about books about the activism. From very early age, I become an activist, first standing for my right and then standing for my sister's right. Now I am living as a refugee in Denmark, and I am using, again, power of sport and education for inclusion, integration, and empowerment of women and girls around the world. I'm also traveling around the world, giving speeches in different platforms to share my story as an example, to inspire, but also to share the power of sports, how much it can make a positive impact in the countries, in the societies, but also to share a life example of how sports changed my life and how governing bodies, people who are responsible, can use this power to make a positive change in the countries. So that was my introduction, a long one.
Very good. I think we might have a new label for you, natural activist. Thank you very much. Safa, I'd also like to ask you to introduce yourself, tell us about yourself, and also maybe what's your motivation, how come you're working with sports and refugees, migrants with this topic?
Yeah, so my name is Safa, and I'm studying international business, but in specializing in the sports field. And I was always really motivated to do something with empowering females and girls and women all around the world. And I was part of this organization called Future Leaders, and I really wanted to do something with my life that was impactful. And I met this girl, and she introduced me to girl power. And that really motivated me. She said that it really seems like you would fit into this organization because you really want to do impact. So I was following girl power for like almost a year before actually interning. And when I found out about it and how it's growing and what it's doing for children here and abroad, I really wanted to be involved in it somehow. So now that's how I'm involved in Girl Power Organization.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I could recognize that Khalida probably can see the potential female leaders. Okay, so you mentioned girl power. this is where you actually met. What is girl power, Khalida? This is your organization that you established. Could you tell us a bit more about it? And what are you doing? What's the focus? How come you created this organization?
The idea and the story, the idea of creating and establishing Girl Power Organization came from the time when I was living in different refugee centers, both in Denmark, but also in Norway, where I lived and experienced life as a refugee in this different asylum centers, where I also experienced and witnessed the life of so many women and girls living in refugee centers, suffering from depression and stress. When I was living in the refugee centers, I was also suffering from depression. And so the only way for me to survive and not give up in my life, and also help other women to not give up and stay strong, was again the power of sport. So I started using sport again to coach in the refugee centers. I started getting women living in the refugee center together to come with me to do some sport activities. So for example, we were doing running, we were playing football, we were dancing, we were doing yoga. So different sports activities we were doing, because there was a moment for me in the refugee center where one of the women were really suffering from deep depression, and she was for such a long time in the refugee center. Yeah, it was a time that she could not tolerate the situation anymore, and she tried to commit suicide. And that was a awakening moment for me to think about it. Okay, even I left my country, my purpose is not stopped. My mission in life is not stopped. Only like playing in Afghanistan and playing in national team cannot define me as who I am and as my purpose. My purpose is bigger and stronger and even beyond the borders. And that's why I stood up. And it's kind of an awakening moment for me to think about others and say, like, I cannot give up and I cannot see what is happening for women and just let them to go through this. I have the power, and the power is my sport background, sports activity. So it took the ball, helped them to get out. We started creating a small little community without like going to the office or formally. We were spending hours outside the refugee center. That was the only way I could help them, to get them outside the refugee center, play some sports, do something else, so everybody, including myself, could think about anything else than the refugee center waiting time. Because as a refugee, when you live in a refugee center, or as a refugee yourself, you feel like, you know, the unknown future. You feel like you're a doll hanging in the air, where you don't have a ground to stand on and you don't have a sky to fly, and you're just in the middle, struggling, not knowing why I should, like, there are most of the time you wake up in the morning, or you don't want to wake up in the morning, to wake up for what? Because that is waiting time. And most of people in the refugee centers, they don't want to sleep. And then when, for example, most of the time they are awake. And when they sleep, it's like they during the day, because they don't have anything to wake up for. The only thing is waiting time. And so they do everything possible to avoid that, the waiting time. So that was a way for me to get them out, to have some fun, to enjoy mixed dance and sports, a lot of music. That is how it helped me and helped them. We had really good time together, even in a very stressful situation. And then I also started like mentoring them, different women from different culture backgrounds who are living in the refugee center. I started like being a mentor for them, a coach. And when I got the permission to stay in Denmark, I said, okay, how can I connect with the people, with the people that are in different separated communities? How can I make a bridge between two divided communities? So women from, or men even, from different communities support each other and connect with each other. So I established Girl Power organization with the purpose of using the power of informal education, which is leadership, and sports, to connect women from around this different community, but also around the world, together to support each other, to empower each other, but also to learn, to give the opportunity, provide the opportunity of learning, and also building network, which includes refugees, immigrants, and local citizens, European citizens. So we share a space where we learn from each other, empower each other, but also a sisterhood system, a strong sisterhood system, no matter of what culture background or religion or belief we are, but our sisterhood should stand stronger. That is the idea of Girl Power.
It's very inspiring. I'm not sure if you could close it in a better way. Thank you very much for sharing. So I'm wondering, what activities are you doing in the Girl Power? So what would be the things, are you doing some sports, or what is the actual things you're doing?
Yeah. So our actual activity is, one of our main programs are leadership academies. Because our Girl Power organization started in Denmark, it has an HQ in Denmark, but we do activities around Europe, but also in Middle East. In Europe, our main focus is inclusion and integration. And in the Middle East, it's more on providing opportunities for women and girls who are living in rural areas of each country that we are going. So what we provide is the Leadership Academy, and our Leadership Academy includes the different topics of leadership. It's a lot advocacy, but also sports activities. The second activities we do or product we have is the organizing festivals, events, where we bring communities together. Where we want to have a meeting point where people build the network and also enjoy the power of sport. We do also once a week trainings in the refugee centers for women and girls. So our main activity is mix of, for example, for the women especially, mix of sports and dance and music. We are very active, and hopefully we will become more active in the refugee centers. We do have our activities in refugee centers. We are also working in now expanding our activities, like a regular football or basketball trainings in some other cities of Denmark. So, and part of our activities are also advocacy. which means we are attending conferences or we are organizing conferences, panel discussions, debates we are hosting.
Yeah, that's also very important work if we want to change the things in the long run. Safa, I'm curious, were you part of any of the activities from the Girl Power? So were you part of any events? And I'm curious about the experience and how it was for you.
Yeah, so I was part of the leadership, the last Leadership Academy, which was partnered with Barca Foundation. And it was super lovely because it really created an environment of bringing strong women together and coming together from the same aim. So we had different activities. It started off with like icebreaker activities. And the aim of that was creating really like a safe space for everyone. Everyone had like their own different story, but we could really feel in the room that everyone had the same aim and courage and motivation to make impact and create impact. So that was a super well done start of the a program. And then we went on to learning like the basics of leadership. So over there, we learned about celebrating ourselves and just our personal strength and having pride in it. And actually being able to talk about it and not in like a boastful way, but being able to inspire others. So that was a super helpful workshop because I think girls, also youth, sometimes they feel a bit scared of like talking about their ambitions and the work they've done. So this was more of like taking pride and inspiring others. And then there was also a workshop on integration and inclusion from experts. And that really gave an insight on the Danish realm of how it is to be inclusive and what the barriers are for refugees and how it really impacts people, like both emotionally and physically. So it really gave us an insight on the understanding of what people go through, like minorities and refugees, et cetera. And then there was then Barca Foundation. They also did a grassroots coaching methodology workshop, which really gave the participants an understanding of how to be a coach, how to be a leader in the best and most authentic way. And moving on, there was also a psychology. We learned a lot about psychology. So an expert came and talked about the psychological factors of leadership. And it was really good because we did like physical activities and psychological, learned about like the psychological part of it as well. So it was really on educating us from every aspect. So you get the most out of the Leadership Academy. And it was really inspiring to see how people, like the insights and the input people gave and how they opened up naturally, because such a safe space was created so quickly, which was quite cool because I think that sometimes it's quite hard to do. So I think it was done really beautifully. And we also had a workshop actually on setting boundaries and being able to say no. And I think this was super important because I think especially young girls, and also coming from like different cultures, when you're in another country, you're a bit confused and everything is just a bit different, but saying no clearly was a super good activity for everyone to know and set boundaries and how to be sincere with your leadership as well. So it gave really like a holistic view of how to be the most authentic and sincere leader and coach.
Thanks for sharing. Like now I want to be part of it too, because like all the workshops seem super interesting. Awesome. So yeah, maybe from Khalida, from your side. So could you tell us like this more strategic aspect of the Leadership Academy? So what are you trying to actually do with this Leadership Academy?
Our Leadership Academy is very much focused on empowering young women. The idea is first identifying and the community role models, the young leaders that inspires others, and also the women who use the power of sport to make change in their community. That is the first step, that we identify those young leaders that are willing to make a change, to give back in the society, because our main philosophy and in one of the values of Gopal organization is giving back to community, giving back to our sisterhood, giving back to the world. So we identify those young leaders through our Gopal organization, Gopal Academy. Then they come to residential academy, as Safa was explaining about these 3 days of different topics were discussed. So we bring the experts of each topic to help our leaders to understand and also gain their knowledge. But also the core idea is how we bring these young leaders to learn from each other, to build the network and the connection, to get inspired and inspire others. Then we provide the mentorship, so mentors for them, where in this leadership academy, they discover or they explain about their goals. And then we provide them the mentorship when they need it. And for example, one of our leaders, they become the young leaders of Gopal organization. So they become under our umbrella. So once they become the leaders of Gopal organization, then they get the mentors from us, and then they go back to the community. They start a project in their community. So it could be, for example, advocacy, it could be training football, it could be training dance, or it could be organizing an event. We will help them, support them by mentoring them, facilitating, and also even with the administration and event management, we are trying to support them so they become the face, they are the leaders. And we are in the background supporting them, because what we want to do differently than any other organization is that we want our young leaders, we want these women to be the front face. We want them to take the initiative to become leaders, to lead something, to believe in themselves. And we have their back. We stand for them and provide them the support, the mentorship, so they can feel confident to organize something, to lead something. So that is that is what we do. So some of them, for example, as I said, they do training. Some of them, they are already planning to organize a second leadership program in their community too. So we provide all type of the activities or the support, so they become the next leaders. And once our leadership program is, once they give back to the community or the project that they lead, which is usually takes 1 year. And after that 1 year, they come to a tournament, a big festival or tournament. They will bring the girls from the community, the people that they work with in this festival together. And so they will share their knowledge and understanding, but also the new people who will bring with them. There is an opportunity, there will be an opportunity for them. They build a network. They hope that they will create friendship. There will be friendship and network. So they kind of like our ecosystem or the sisterhood will become stronger and bigger. And these leaders, after a year of like being a part of the Gopal Academy, implementing the give back community project, then they become the mentor for the next leadership program, for the next leaders. So that is how it will be working. And then our network will be expanding, and then this ecosystem of sisterhood will be expanding, which is empowering through education, knowledge, and experience.
Thank you very much. A lot of good stuff in there.
I just want to add one more thing.
Yes.
that, like, what we want to do is, like, in a world of, in a male-dominated world that still, like, man is deciding, and you see so many men being a leader, you miss so many women. Of course, there are strong women we see, but they are not, like, it's not equal yet. And we are still missing female leaders. So what we're trying to do is to, for example, if you see a program, for example, we We focus on our young leaders, and the young leaders will train the 13 to 19 or 16 years old, and our young leaders are from 18 to 29, 30 years old, and our mentors are 30 plus and people, women with experience. So the women look up at each other and see each other as a role model, to see, to kind of dare each other to dream big and become a leader. That is what we want to achieve. The women who dream to become a leader, the young girls who are there to dream big to become a leader, to change the system and the mindset that only man can be a leader.
I could not agree more with what you're saying. So you actually answered partially what I wanted to ask you, but I'll ask you anyway. So actually my question was, why is it important to support young females from a minority and refugee and migrant background?
First of all, it's very, very important to have an inclusive community, an inclusive society. We cannot have a healthy and strong society where we will miss or isolate a member of the society. We can never be a good and a strong family if we leave members of our family behind. We are stronger together, and we are beautiful with all the colors and the belief together. If we create this system of inclusive system, an inclusive society, the societies will gain more benefit, because you will see, for example, if we have a society, an open society, where the welcoming society, people will not suffer from isolation, from depression. People will not be left out of the system. People will feel more inclusive, but also participate actively in society. Because of the network, because of the connections, because of understanding, okay, for example, if I need a job as a refugee or as a migrant, I have a network, I have people, I can go to people. So I'm not totally by myself living in somewhere isolated community just by myself. That's more hurting the society. But imagine if we have an inclusive society where people are welcoming, and people are very, the society is inclusive. So I can easily and faster get integrated into the society, but also benefit the society. When I get a job, I pay tax. I'm active and I'm not getting from the society or from the community, from the system. So that's one part of the challenge of kind of like, if we have an inclusive society, we can come over this barrier. The other thing is that if we just be very much divided, first of all, this refugees and immigrants or the second generation of immigrants, they feel like, I feel mostly sorry for the second generation of immigrants, because they are the ones that they don't know what is in the family, the parents came from that country, how it doesn't look. And they don't have a country back there when, for example, where their mom and father grew up and born and raised. So they are living, for example, in Denmark, they're born and raised in Denmark, and Denmark is not accepting them. They feel so alone, and when I had the talk with so many young generation and the second generation of immigrants, they are like, we are just like, we don't know what is our identity. This country that we are born and raised is not accepting us, and the country that my mom and dad come from, we don't know. We are not connected to that. So we are by ourselves. So that is actually how it creates the distance, but also so much hate and depression, because the young generation is the generation that empower the society. They can be used in a very positive way to build the society, but they are sitting alone, getting depressed, with creating so much hate in them, saying, what is my sign? What is my fault that the society is not accepting me? This is also my country. So, and that is the challenge. The other challenge is for example, for the refugees myself, like myself, we are forced to leave our country. In Afghanistan, I had so many dreams. I was dreaming about my career. I was planning my career 5 years ahead. All my dreams, my friends, everything was with me in Afghanistan, my identity. And I was on the peak of my career. And what happened all of a sudden, because of the war, because of the challenges I faced, I had no other option, either staying there and being killed or leaving my country, my friends, my family, my dreams behind me to survive. And then I left everything. It was the toughest. So I had no other choice than becoming a refugee. And then you leave everybody behind you. You have no identity as a refugee. You come in a new country. And you're traumatized. You have been suffering from a lot of depression and challenges and stress. First of all, you left your beloved ones behind, your identity behind, and now you're in a new country where you have no friends, you have no knowledge about the language, you have no knowledge about the culture, and you're by yourself, and you're nobody with a small like identity card. You're a refugee with a number. And then you see a society where they just don't want to accept you, and they blame you for being a refugee. And then you say, but this was not my fault to become a refugee, and not none of these women who are living in the refugee center, or even the children. It was not their fault. But I didn't give up. I didn't give up. I didn't want this exclusion. It was like the hate and the hatred towards refugees or immigrants take my energy from me, because every time I say, no matter what, I will start from zero. Starting from zero is the toughest, because first of all, your education is not accepted because it's not according to standards of Europe. Yes, I don't have education now. Your work experience is nothing. You are no one. And now you have to build friendship. You get a network. You have to build a career. Your 20 years or 15 years is just lost. You have to go back to school, start from nothing. Imagine if we have an exclusive, inclusive communities, these type of challenges become like easier. But if you have a society that don't like, that you are living in a community that is not inclusive, so you have a stress of people don't like me. I'm here. They feel that I'm coming here in this community to steal money, to live in paradise. That is one of the thoughts that you have in your shoulder, one of the weights. And then you have the weight of starting from zero. You take a lot on your shoulder, and then you go and study, and you don't give up. No matter how lonely you feel, no matter how tough it is, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much you miss your family and your friends, your identity, your country, your language, everything, but you just take it with you, and you just like as one soldier fighting so hard to become part of this society, to give back to the society, as I did. I studied, I went, I worked. All I did was positive to give back to the society that accepted me and give me shelter. And there are so many people that are left behind because they don't know how to fight. And it is toughest. It is toughest fight because you don't have a support. You don't have a mindset, the country that says like, welcome, we understand you have been through. We help you because you become one part of the positive in the society. You will give back to the society. Since then I have been paying the tax. I have been very much involved. And I didn't give up. I didn't let this negative mindset to stop me. But what I missed them in this, seeing people like myself standing and being a role model for me, standing, being a strong woman for me, so I could follow and could relate it to. And that's why I said, okay, I will try my best to even go everywhere, share my story, become more visible, so the refugees who come like myself will not give up. See, oh, she has been through a lot and now she has made somewhere. So I can do that too. So, and that's why I am so much involved, because I feel so much responsible. I feel responsible because I feel like if I don't do it, then there may be a woman, a girl like me who are in the refugee center or just got permission to stay in Denmark. And she is desperate. She is missing her identity, but she don't know where to start. I want to be visible for those women. And I want to, through my organization, want to bring more visibility around the minority women, that like the younger girls see, she did it. And I can do that too. It is fine. She has been through the same. Because having a role model is very, very important. Because sometimes you think, of course, we always have the perfect picture of don't get me wrong, a white woman who has the education and privileges and make it there. And we always see women of color suffering from a lot and being very weak. What we need is to change this mindset for our sisters from different colors and different beliefs, that we are not weak. No matter of our color, we are strong. We can be stronger together. And we don't want this male-dominated cultures and societies to push more women down and say, like, women should be weak. And this is you, this is how you should be. Especially, for example, the cultures like Middle East, some of the cultures that we come from, where women have to be follower. But we want to change this mindset, especially myself. I want to change this mindset and say, like, no, women can be leader. And I have done this and I'm a leader standing here. You can do that too. And I want to inspire the younger generation to dream big. So what their moms have been through, they should stop within their generation. And that's what Denmark did. What if you read the history of women in Denmark, they stopped within the generation and say, like, no, we are changing this mindset. We are standing together and we are changing the mindset. Denmark is a perfect example. Of course, still we are missing and we are not there yet to make equality and equal leadership. But Denmark is a great example, because the women in Denmark stood up together, fought, and said, this is enough, we are stopping, we are changing the mindset, but also we are creating role models so the next generation come will be the leaders and will dream to become a leader.
I could pick on so many things in there. Seriously. I need to go back to the Leadership Academy. Otherwise, we can make a movie, Kalida. You know that, right? awesome. Yeah. Though, actually, I do want to ask this question, because I think it's... You talked about inclusion, integration a lot. Do you feel included?
I don't think so. I feel included. It is very challenging. Denmark is very tough. It's so difficult because the mindset and the culture here is not accepting different color, the color of people that is different from the Danes. I do appreciate the fact that Denmark has given me the shelter to live. Denmark has given me the opportunity, the freedom that I can dream. I can achieve my dreams and I can be who I am. I can inspire others, but I don't feel part of the community, even though I try my best. It's so difficult. Because that I feel like there is a kind of the fear that if we include you, then you will take something from us. I always felt that every time I try to be close to the community, I felt like the feeling I got is like, okay, I'm taking something from you. No, I'm giving something, because we have different experience and we are from different cultures. We can pick up the best things from different cultures and make our own culture beautiful and own society beautiful. But yes, I have received good support from people. I don't want to just like forget that one. I have received support from people in Denmark, from the places where I work, my colleagues. They've been very nice and kind to me, but I think this is the society where it says like, if you're Dane, pure Dane, mom and dad is Dane, you're Danish and you're part of Denmark. But if you're even looking the same, you have the same color, the same hair color, but if your mom and dad is not born and raised and you're not like the pure Dane, so you're not Danish. I remember one of the examples that in a very first year I came to Denmark. I was working in one of the organizations, and there was a woman, a young woman, from the mom and dad was from another country, but this woman was born and raised in Denmark and left all her life in Denmark. And someone said that in the discussion, said that, oh, she's Dane. And then someone said, no, she is not Dane, because her mom and dad is from some other country. She was fluently speaking Danish. She was working. She was a kid in Denmark. And that was like, oh, okay, I have to understand this culture, that no matter how many like generations you live in Denmark, because your roots are not from Denmark, you're not accepted. But I have taken this and I just accept it, because if I think about all the negative, it will stop me. And I believe that the generations, the young generations, will not have the same mindset. The world is changing, no matter how much the older generation is keeping like this, but the younger generation is becoming brighter. There will be a generation that will not accept even the borders. They will tell themselves, we are the citizen of the world and we are not citizen of a small country. And so, I mean, the next generations will become more inclusive. They want to have friends from different world, different part of the world. I think I am so hopeful for the next generation, and I can already see in Danish people that the younger generation and the future, the dreamers. I will always call this generation of dreamers the generation who will bring changes, the generation who has knowledge and understanding, and say that only stucking with like this mindset of like, we are here, we are only this people, we will stay away from the world. But if we become more inclusive, then we will become more empowered. We will become more stronger. So the next generation will be the generation where women and girls like me, who flew from their countries, will not feel isolated and excluded.
Thank you very much. I hope this borderless society comes soon.
Welcome.
Yes. Safa, if there's something that you want to add.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, thank you, Khalida, for sharing your story. It was so inspiring. Like, I have goosebumps right now. But yeah, just to add what Khalida was saying. So like, the refugee crisis is just on a height right now. And we see the impact it specifically has on youth is devastating, both emotionally and physically. And sports, it always has the tendency to bring people together and bring a community together. And if you've been successful in creating a safe space for young children and girls, then I think you've really succeeded with the AIM. And that's exactly what girl power does. Like being a minority in like a completely different world is quite scary, like a different language, a different culture. Like it's really a time of confusion. And sport is like a global language that brings beautiful things out of it. And girl power really aims to bring like strong women coming together for like the same aim. And if I talk about inclusivity for a second, like inclusivity, we hear it all the time. Everyone talks about it, but how effective are they actually being? Like everyone talks about it, but truly to be authentic, a lot of knowledge needs to be instilled in young youth. And it's as simple as if we are ignorant about something, we are hostile of it. And the Leadership Academy that Girl Power creates really helps people about like authenticity and spreading knowledge. So like, as we know, like knowledge is the passport to the future. So the Leadership Academy really helps to instill that knowledge within the youth. And I was coaching a child and he said something so simple yet so beautiful. He said, can you imagine a fruit salad with just apples? Like he said it was going to be so boring. And I find it so cute, but it was so sweet because it has such like a deeper understanding of diversity and how crucial it is in society to create a better and positive impact and how we can learn a lot from each other. And it really also, if I just talk about the giving back cycle and the aim of Khalida and her organization is really beautiful because I could explain it in just one quote with like, if you give a person a fish, you give them a fish for a day. But if you teach a person to fish, you fish them for a lifetime. And that's, I think, exactly just like the motto that it revolves around. So it's like a long-term aim of creating change. And it takes like a whole community to work together to really change the future in the best way possible. And to create more gender equality and equity in society. So yeah, I just wanted to add that quickly.
Thank you very much. I actually also want to ask you, what did this Leadership Academy give to you personally? And I'm also guessing professionally, it made you grow. Like when I was listening to you now, I'm like, okay, so this girl is on fire, is going places. Yes, it's so amazing. I'm having goosebumps with you as well. So I'm curious, what did the Leadership Academy give you in terms of, yeah, knowledge or competences or yeah
I think it really opened my mind. It gave me like a spark of knowledge in a different way. There's always something to learn, and the community it had, like I was speaking to everyone and everyone had such good and inputs and insight on different things. So I think first and foremost the community that it created was absolutely beautiful. And secondly, the workshops and the Leadership Academy and all the activities we did, it really helped me and gave me a deeper of understanding of our responsibility. And like the privilege we have of, for example, living in a society that somewhat gives you a platform to do something. And it really creates like an urge to do something because we really have a responsibility. It's not really a favor, it's a duty on us. So yeah, it really, I think it strengthened my understanding of the duty of helping those who are in need of it.
Thank you. Khalida, I'll go back to you now. I'm curious, are you working with some organizations or stakeholders while doing this Leadership Academy? So who else is involved in creating it and doing it?
I mean, before I start answering that question, I would first say, like, see, this is the generation I'm talking, what Safa was talking, this is the generation. This is the generation of changers, change makers, and dreamers who think differently, who are bright, who are aware. And this is like, I love to even be around these people because this may give me a positive mindset also and make me hopeful for the future, for an inclusive society, an inclusive future for everybody. I always believe, and what I learned from football in my career, that we cannot be strong standing alone. We are stronger when we work together, that means like when we organize something or do an events or academies, like Leadership Academy or any event or any programs, it's with the with our stakeholders. And we are not powerful standing alone, but with our stakeholders. And our stakeholders, in specifically Leadership Academy, has been European Week of Sport, which is part of ISCA itself. We have been the partner with Barcelona Foundation. We have been partner with different organizations, for example, like fundings came from, for example, Nordea funds, but also different organizations like organization in Aarhus, some other organization like street societies, a street football community that has given us the opportunity to connect with their young people or young leaders. So different organizations has been part of this, and we have been working with them.
So what did you learn from doing Leadership Academy, you as a leader? What would be some, let's say, tips or tricks or something that you learned that you want to share with people?
I would say one of our challenges, I will start with the challenge. One of our challenge was that because we were focusing a lot on not only giving the opportunity for everybody, but making also the spots and like more spots in the Leadership Academy for the refugees and immigrants and everybody else. One of our challenge was the documents of refugees, that because of the lacking of the document, they were not able, because our Leadership Academy was international, was not only focused in Denmark. So we had, for example, the leaders who joined from around the world, but mainly from Europe. So we missed them because of the lack of the documents. They didn't manage to come because of the documents. The other thing was, which I understood and learned from, is that even though we are living in the centuries of 20 and we are living in 2021, there are so many women and girls, because of the cultural and social barriers, especially minorities, because of different mindsets, they don't have the privileges as many of us who are even like above 18 years old can still travel, for example, from Aarhus, from, for example, Aalborg, from different part of the city to participate in a 3 days of Leadership Academy and a residential academy where they stay overnight. Most of the women and girls with different cultural backgrounds, they don't have this freedom, this privilege. And I found out that some of them that we were targeting actually were missed from the program because of the barrier of like traveling to come to Copenhagen and stay overnight. They don't have the freedom, they don't have the permission from the parents to leave the house and stay somewhere overnight. So that learning helped me to, next time when we do the Girl Power Leadership Academy, we also make sure that, for example, if we do it one in Copenhagen for everybody, then we make it an exclusive one in different cities. So the people will not be excluded. So these young women who are in our target group can be part of it. And that means like the learning is that we will do in the city where we know that there are, for example, a good number of people in our target group and can benefit from our program. So we will be kind of adapting into the cultural and to overcome some like the barriers. So our next leadership will be, for example, in Aarhus, and will be in, not like the people don't need to come and stay in the hotel, but they can come, for example, from morning to the afternoon, and then in the afternoon they could go back to home. So the families will be also happy. So they see their daughters who cannot live living in a hotel like they don't know, but still in their same city. So the families will be happy and we will be happy because they were included and they have learned something. And that's what I also want to give through this example. I want to give also a message to the organizations that because of your programs, don't let the people to be excluded. Sometimes we as an organization need to be flexible. We need to take an extra step if we really want to make a change. Of course, it's costly, it is difficult, it's like it needs a lot of resources, but think about the people who are left out of our programs and how much they can benefit. And if all of us think about our programs and like the structure we make and the boxes we make, we leave so many people behind. Sometimes we need to think about, okay, how we can design our program that fits their life and how we can include them. So now what I want to do is like, I want to go in the city where they live and there's like the number is bigger. And they, I know that they, because of the challenge that they have, they could not participate. Now, how I can fix a program and design a program that they come, participate and gain benefit. So at the end of the day, we have met our goal and they are also included, which most of the organization, because of the challenges, they are not very much flexible. That's what we need to learn if we really want to make an impact, especially for women and girls. Because working with women and girls with the refugee and migrant backgrounds, it's not easy. And sometimes all we come with is saying, oh, they don't want to participate because, I don't know, they don't like to participate. No, but go a little bit deeper. Take one extra step and understand what is the problem that they don't want to participate. Why they were excluded, why they were left behind. And find that challenge and then try to design your program that can help them. I don't know if I have actually answered your question, but I did say something.
You did, and you also answered my next question. I feel you're actually reading me while I'm writing my questions here. Maybe just to follow up on including the target group somehow in the designing the activities. I mean, this is something that we learn over and over again, that like we try to design an activity, but we actually don't ask them what they need, right? So sometimes it's plainly simple, might be hard in some cases though. Just to ask them, like, what do you want? What would you like to do? What is wrong? What should we adjust? Because it's just talking to a human being, right? And maybe they will feel a bit shy at the beginning, but somehow you also need to build the trust and give them safe space. I think this is also very important in general, to give safe space so that they can be like, be themselves the way they feel and they like. So, yes. So I think you already gave the message to the leaders of the organizations, to the sports clubs that are actually working with this topic.
I think, first of all, I liked that Khalida is talking about leaving no one behind and taking the extra heart to ensure everyone's on the journey together. So I think it really takes a lot of effort from the organization as well. And if I were to conclude, if everyone is moving forward together, then success can take care of itself and we're always stronger together. So just a message of always stronger together and leave no one behind.
10 years ago, what would you say to, younger Safa?
Who's hesitant to take a step to... Oh, that is an interesting question and a very deep one. I think I would just say take the courage to take the first step and take a leap of faith and you'll see the amazing stuff that goes on in your journey. So just a step of faith.
It's a tricky one sometimes. Yeah. But with having inspiring people and role models around you, I think it can actually work. Okay. Is there anything you want to wanted to share. I'm going to slowly close our conversation. I will have one last question, but if there's something that you feel you haven't expressed and you want to get it out there, this is the time.
I would like to say something to the organizations and the people who really want to do something for the refugees and immigrants and minorities. If you really believe in empowering and including the refugees, let them to be the face. If you really believe in their power, help them to lead. And like, let's change the mindset, because what is like, not intentionally actually, but what is happening in like in a countries or cultures where I come from, you always see man leading. It's because the man always believe in themselves and they don't want the women to lead. And that's why they don't trust women. They don't believe in power of women. So that's why they always become the face, and the women are the followers. Usually the women are taking all the burden. They do everything, but the man get all the credit. What is happening in Europe that most of people and organizations should learn that, I mean, if you are standing every time taking the lead, so you're not no more, not a different, bigger difference than the man from our country, because you as a white woman stand and do everything. And we as a woman of color or the, like refugees, we take all the burden, we do everything, and you're the face. So you never like give a chance for us to shine. We have the talent, we bring all these things, and you are leading. If you really believe in empowering us, empower us to become the future leaders. Support us and be with us and shine together with us. Don't take all the light on yourself, because then you are no different than a man from our country. Because there they took all the light on their face, and here you're taking all the light. So we are still behind, and then we are still followers. And that's why we will have the generations and generation that they don't have the role models, that they look up at, they don't feel like someone who related to. Let's shine together. Let's have the light equally shared on us, if you really believe. Otherwise, it's another, you're another man in the system, just like with the different gender. You'll be like just another mindset. If you really believe, just change. Let's change the mindset. Let's say that we are sisters, different colors. We are stronger together, and we are sharing the light and the light of the fame or the light of the resources or whatever. Let's share each other. Let's give to share each other, because we will become stronger.
It goes so much with my philosophy of life. Sharing is caring, seriously. So thank you very much for sharing and giving me goosebumps here. Safa, you wanted to add something, please?
Yeah, if I can add something. I think if society actually wants to empower youth and gain wisdom and knowledge, we need to understand the importance of learning, unlearning, and relearning preconceived notions of different cultures. And we need to take the extra step. We need to take the extra step and just learn, and go the extra mile. It's incredibly crucial. And I think the fact of unlearning certain concepts about refugees and migrants is crucial. And everyone talks about knowledge. We need to learn. Yeah, but we also need to take stuff out of our brain and unlearn things to understand other people. And bring the love and just care for each other.
Goosebumps level 10 here, so okay, thank you very much. I'm warm in here. I don't know if you see close to my heart. Okay, this is the last question. I'm not sure. I think it should be a good one. So concretely, how can people support you, like your organization, concretely? So Girl Power, is there a way how can people and organizations support you?
There are so many ways that you can support, or any organization can support our individual. First of all, you can support by becoming one of our stakeholders, collaboration in different activities. If you're an organization with education or your organization with sports, we can do this activities together in collaborative way. The other way is these individuals or organization that can fund us. because we are very much dependent on funds. For the individuals, we also have this internship, volunteering to become part of the organization so we can share our knowledge and experience, but also lift each other up. And or just become part of our program, become participants of our program, learn either by sharing your knowledge or becoming like one of our leaders. That's how you become part of the organization. We are very much open-minded people, and we would love people to be part of Girl Power.
Thank you very much to Safa and Khalida for sharing experiences, points of view, and especially this amazing spirit of sisterhood, if I can call it like that, of just being human being that wants to have inclusive society with the help of sport and just being human. So thank you very much for sharing, and I hope I'll see you at some point or work with you at some point in the future.
Thank you so much for hosting us.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for your time.